always follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Very busy 3-hour program lined up today. Tons of reaction after another doozy in primetime. Monday night, Falcons take down the Rams in a big upset. What happened with the live odds to win the MVP and where it's sitting at today? Was it a big overreaction? Paul Stone on the program, a couple of best bets from him. We do have two more games to kick off yet today in college football, which we will discuss. It was a big night last night of the NBA as well. Horrible news for Joker. Could have been worse than the Denver Nuggets, but we'll get into that. Two segments today, Derek Stevens. So much to get into. We'll talk about Circa Survivor. That is down to 6 entries now, $18 million on the line. I want to know how much money it takes on game day to move a game basically from pick to 3 with juice. Like we saw with the Bills against the Eagles on Sunday. And they offer every game to end in a tie. Great question from you, Pauly. How much will they take on that? Because if these games, if one of them would end it on a tie, in a tie on Sunday, you're dead with your Survivor ticket. So we'll ask him about that. And coming up in an hour, I can't wait, Bruce Murray, host on SiriusXM NFL Radio, also an NFL awards voter on the program. We'll get into that coming up, the MVP stuff. How concerned are you right now with the Rams after last night?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'll say a 5.
Okay, that's not bad.
Because you had guys out. Humphrey was terrible. Right? That's a bomb to Puka that was negated. Line up correctly, right? Had the special teams break go their way. Stafford played like Stafford in Detroit, trying to fit it in tight spaces, relying on arm strength, and he got caught a couple times. But you're going to get Adams back. You're going to get healthy on the offensive line. Now, the tough thing is you blew it with the 1 seed, and you're going to have to do it on the road. But I still think they're going to get the 5 seed, and then they'll take out whoever wins the toilet bowl Saturday afternoon, assuming, right? That would be the angle, right? And then I think you got a great opportunity again when you take on Seattle. I think Seattle beat San Francisco, and then they can beat Seattle again, and how they outplayed them in the second meeting. But it was just a tough loss, but it shows my takeaway is how the hell are the Falcons 7-9?
Exactly right.
They're 4-1 in primetime. They got great weapons. And to think that this team got blown out at home by Miami, blown out at Carolina, swept by Carolina, it would have a 3-way tie for the division, and they'll be on the outside looking in.
How about that? If you're holding a Tampa Bay ticket to either make the playoffs or to win that division, even with a win now against Carolina on Sunday, that doesn't mean that they're going to take it down because they need a Falcons loss.
Yes.
If the Falcons win on Sunday, the Buccaneers are out.
Yes. What a weird celebration in 12 hours it's going to be.
Yeah.
Right? So it's happened. We've had a 3-way tie 5 times. And the last time it happened, 2011, in the AFC West. I didn't know this till Kornacki mentioned it Sunday night on NBC. But the league, and most people assumed, well, Drake May just went from $4 to $3.20 at DraftKings. Most people just assumed that the Rams would handle their business last night. You wouldn't have to worry about it.
I was scared about the game.
Yeah, right. You were.
And you know something that we never even talked about yesterday? Raheem Morris does know the team. Obviously, he was there. He won a Super Bowl with them. Defensive coordinator knows them, and it looked like it last night. But the Rams obviously not playing well. They've lost 3 out of their last 5 games. So I'm a little bit concerned, probably a little bit more than you, probably 5.5 or 6 overall. Tough time here stopping the run lately.
Yeah.
And last night, perfect example of that happening. But if it breaks like that and the Niners lose to Seattle, and then I do expect the Rams to absolutely go out there and thump the Cardinals. McVay said the starters are going to go. Well, specifically if the Seahawks win the game, they have to go, and they'll probably kill the Cardinals in that spot to get the 5 seed.
I don't mind them with Garoppolo either.
Okay.
Arizona can't stop anything. I think 7.5 is a good look.
And once they get Davante Adams back, that'll be big. Corum left the game early last night. Eventually, he'll come back. Other key guys as well. So last night was not pretty. But to your point, like, you know that Bijan Robinson is like one decent run away or catch away from topping how many yards Saquon Barkley had from scrimmage last year?
Had a great year. Getting lost.
He was 225-1 to win Offensive Player of the Year last night during the game. He's down to 30-1, 25-1.
There's a lot of stuff happening that's not getting enough attention or talked about. Robinson's season and the fact that the New England Patriots have beat one team with a winning record. No one's talking about this with the awards. I don't know why. Now, one voter, And one guy who covers the league is on it, pointing out it's the easiest schedule for a team that made the playoffs since 1999 in the Rams. Discussed numerous times, as they mention it on the broadcast on the Sunday night game when they played the Ravens. It's the third easiest schedule in the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
But this is big for Vrabel and big for me that that everything moved, and the fact that, okay, it's a great story, but we're not even playing the same sport here. And what could be the best division of our lifetime, the NFC West, and who Stafford has to go through, the Patriots have beat one team with a winning record. It's astonishing. And they lost to the Raiders. So yeah. Everyone playing that game last night, oh, it's the Falcons. You look terrible. They did lose to the Raiders, who are going to go 2-15 if you want to play that game.
I think it was one of the biggest overreactions we've had in sports in a long time last night, what took place. And again, full disclosure, I am holding Drake May 95-1 to win the MVP. And what took place last night was incomprehensible to me. And now you have voters like Dan Orlovsky coming out, and he tweeted this earlier, and he said, TD passes against 11-plus win teams in 2025. Think about this for a second. Against teams with 11-plus wins, Matthew Stafford has 20, most in NFL history.
Oh.
Baker Mayfield has 13. 51 players have at least won, 52-plus with zero. May is in that group.
This reminds me of Miami and Notre Dame with the odds. And how it was like, it's going to correct itself. They're going to do the right thing. Head-to-head's going to matter. The voters aren't going to fall for this. The voters know that one guy is playing this elite competition and putting up huge numbers, and the other guy, who's had a great season, has faced one of the easiest schedules we've seen in 20 years.
Yeah.
The easiest since 1999 with a playoff team.
So I was tracking this the entire game on FanDuel and at DraftKings and a couple of other spots as well, Kelce being one of them. And the highest number that I noticed may get to at FanDuel was minus 650 to win the award. For one game, week 17, when Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, just put out a poll.
Right, big.
When he surveyed a bunch of executives, including, I think, 21 GMs overall. And it was overwhelming in favor of Matthew Stafford getting the MVP over Drake May. And one game where he had three INTs, and oh, by the way, he now has eight on the year. Eight on the year. Guess how many INTs Drake May has? He's got eight. So he tied Drake May with interceptions on the year last night. This is not a one-week award, folks. It's full season to date. And if you want to go down, look, I'm very intrigued. I think both guys have a pretty decent case. Stafford's got a great case. May, when you go down and look at the, and I don't know, like, voters, if they really go down that rabbit hole of looking at the advanced numbers like EPA per game, EPA per dropback, EPA per pass play. May's got him there. Yards per attempt, he's got better numbers than Stafford. He's got more rushing yards, obviously, more rushing touchdowns. He's got a higher completion percentage. But Stafford has more passing yards. He's crushing him in touchdowns overall. And again, when you look at the schedule of competition that these two have played, it's Stafford, the third hardest schedule of opposing pass defenders. Drake May, easiest schedule of opposing pass defenses. And you said that about May playing the easiest schedule since 1999 versus the quarterback with the toughest schedule for a playoff team since 2004, Matthew Stafford.
Strong. Yep. He's also, you know, as a voter, people are saying, well, you can only play who's on your schedule, and you can't use it against him. He goes, you can, and I will.
Is that right?
That's what he said. Yes. He also, you can't give Drake May credit for struggling last year and then being good this year. You can't say, well, he stunk last year, and now he's good this year. Now, that's a compliment and credit to Vrabel, but also why I think Vrabel will not win Coach of the Year, and even with a loss, I still think it goes to Shanahan, is because the Patriots were favored in 11 games before the season even started. So this isn't unexpected.
Yeah, their win total was 8.5. Their alt win total high was 9.5. Now, they flew over that. Good for them. They cleared it no problem. Also, this is a good tweet from Dustin Sweetelson, cashing out weeknights here on VSIN. May versus teams above 500. Pittsburgh, Buffalo twice. Four total touchdowns, two INTs. Stafford against teams above 500, including Houston, Philadelphia, San Francisco twice, Jacksonville, Seattle twice. 20 touchdowns, one INT.
Oh.
Not close.
Wow.
Not close.
All right. How much will the 5 or 6 seed ding them? That's the thing. And we'd love to play prisoner of the moment, but I think New England takes out Miami Sunday, but if he struggles, and you figure Stafford lights it up against Arizona, then what?
Yeah, I just...
But it's just, this has happened for the last couple of weeks here, where you're seeing big swings in these awards markets, and I guess that's it for Puka, Offensive Player of the Year as well, because now JSN shot up after Puka did nothing last night.
Yeah, that could come down to the game on Saturday and what McCaffrey's going to do.
That's
and again,
right.
what if Robinson goes crazy again on Sunday? Like, is he going to have enough steam here?
He's 100-1. I don't know.
That's down to 25-1 now.
Yeah.
It keeps coming down.
Yeah.
But Puka was so close to having a huge game, too.
I thought he caught it with the left hand.
Oh, incredible.
One of the best catches I've ever seen.
No doubt.
And I thought he got it.
And the touchdown that was called back.
Yep. I mean, how strange is this, though, too? Where you have, in the NFL thought, okay, it's a win-or-go-home game. But then Tampa wins, and they got to sit around and watch the Falcons game. That is typical NFC South.
Yes, it is.
If then the Saints go out and win, right? And Carolina still gets in there. Or Tampa still gets in there, rather. How it would happen. Oh, that's crazy. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, spend $129. You get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Don't wait. Spend $129 and get 2 pounds of wings and save 50% off site-wide on steaks and more. omahasteaks.com/VSiN. You'll love the menu and everything they have to offer. omahasteaks.com/VSiN right to your door.
All right, wild night with the NFL MVP odds last night and the NBA MVP odds. Say it ain't so.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
It's good to have you on board. We're live in downtown Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. As always, thanks for watching on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. In 15 minutes, we will get into two bowl games that are still going to kick off. One this hour with Tennessee and Illinois. Bottom of the hour, Paul Stone's going to join the program, professional sports better. We'll get his thoughts on tonight and beyond for the bowl season. And right now, we start the hour by going out to the Progressive guest line as Bruce Murray joins the program, host of the Sirius XM Blitz on Sirius XM Radio. And he is an NFL awards voter. Follow him on X at Bruce Murray NFL. Bruce, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well.
Good,
so as a voter, where were you at with the MVP last night before the game, and then where are you at with it as of today?
So I've been asked that a lot. Let me preface this. I think you got to be real careful as a postseason voter to get caught up in one result. I mean, let's say this game was played back in September. Mm-hmm. We would have forgotten it by now, but it's so fresh in our memory that we have to now adjust our thinking. I mean, this award, as you guys know, is given out after playing 17 full football games. It's not after one game. It's not after four games. It's 17 games. There's still another week left. I don't want to say it's just a statistical award. Obviously, that plays a big role in it. You've got to use your eyeballs and the path here. Obviously, last night impacted Matthew Stafford. But for those that think, oh, Matthew Stafford just lost and Drake May won it, I'm not willing to go there just yet. That's not where I stand.
That is a very logical answer. And for the people who I thought overreacted and said, oh, terrible game by Stafford, you got to give it to May now. Well, again, to your point, it's a full season award. He now has 8 interceptions on the year. That's the exact number of INTs that Drake May has.
Yeah, not only is it look, again, we're going to balance statistics against, you know, the games that are played. And you've got to use your eyeballs with these things. I mean, this is, it's not an exact science. You guys know that. I mean, we're going to have 50 voters, and not all of us are going to see things the same way. Some voters are going to, and I may be one of them, that's going to take into account Drake May's schedule, mm-hmm. which, as you guys know, was one of the weakest schedules in the last 35 years in the National Football League.
Yeah.
you know, you can look at wins and losses. I saw Matthew Stafford maybe be the best player on the football field in a loss to Seattle about 11 days ago. So, you know, it can't be one specific thing. Some of it's born out of conversations you have with people you respect. Some of it's going back and looking how they did in certain moments. But it's not simply, oh, he's got 8 interceptions, he's got 40 touchdowns, he's got 33, he's got a better quarterback rating. There's more factors than that, and I think you have to include all of them.
Well said. Do you also think that hurts Vrabel's chances for coach of the year, what you said on the easy one of the easiest schedules in 35 years, and the fact coming into the season they were favored in 11 games?
I don't think it – I won't say necessarily hurts his chances – but I think you'd be irresponsible if you didn't count that as part of your equation. You'd have to think about, okay, who's overcome more? You guys know this. The coach of the year, it's normally the team that had the terrible season that overachieves a year later. And no question, the New England Patriots are the poster child for that, 4 wins to where they are right now. But, you know, I think if you're going to do this responsibly, and I do believe that I, along with the other 49 voters, do so, you know, what did Liam Cohen for do for Trevor Lawrence in that running game? And what was their schedule and their path here? They went to Denver and won a big football game a couple of weeks ago. I think Sean Payton's in the conversation. I think, obviously, what's going on with Ben Johnson in Chicago in the conversation. Listen, how about Kyle Shanahan? You know, no Nick Bosa, no Fred Warner for a good part of the year. Have we forgotten that they traded Deebo Samuel and didn't get a snap out of Brandon Ayuk and maybe the number one seed? You know, I personally think Coach of the Year is the toughest award to give out. I really do. I think there are so many worthy candidates. But I don't think it's simply, okay, who improved their win total from one year over to the next? Again, like the MVP, there's a lot of factors that go into it.
Totally fair. And in terms of like betting this thing and coming down to the conclusion of, okay, this is going to be the guy, there are, I don't know, by my count, at least 7 great candidates this year. And it's going to be very difficult to do this. How much would you factor in overall? And you brought it up there with Shanahan. But the amount of guys that the star power, Bruce, that he lost the entire time, losing Purdy, he doesn't even qualify, but he's the highest graded quarterback in the entire league at this point, didn't play enough games to qualify, and the list goes on and on with the star power that he lost this year.
No question. I mean, listen, they won 5 games with a backup quarterback. Now, that backup quarterback was a former first-round pick, Mac Jones, obviously, so you know he has some talent, but, you know, this is a league where your starter goes down. Usually you're hoping to just tread water until your starter come back. They were 5-3 in the 8 games that Mac Jones played. You know, Christian McCaffrey's been outstanding, obviously, but it's not like he's been a dominant, the only dominant force they've had on the weekends. The system's been great. I think all of that, overcoming adversity, the records that you have, and the schedule that you play, and let's be fair, if you play out west, you're playing a brutal schedule just if you play inside your own division, excluding the games against the Cardinals. That's all taken into account. Again, we're not tipping our hand here. I'm just saying that Kyle Shanahan, to me, is on a very short list of guys who are going to get great consideration.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask you there, and if you don't want to say I totally get it. Maybe you can't even say it, but if you were leaning one way or the other, would it be Shanahan? And if you have no comment, I get it.
Yeah, we have guidance from the AP that we are not allowed to tip our hands prior to the award being announced, you know, at the honors coming up, you know, the Super Bowl week. So I can't do that, guys.
Okay, what about Rookie of the Year? Do you think Tyler Shuck is going to have a big enough sample size of games to warrant a vote here?
You know, that is a really great question. I think here's what Tyler Shuck benefits from. I think Tyler Shuck benefits from the fact that there's not a guy that has established himself as a can't miss. 6 games into the season, what were you guys saying? Well, Ibuka's the offensive rookie of the year, right? Mm-hmm. In the lock. Can't lose that award. He's been a ghost the last 6 weeks. So he's kind of played himself back to the pack. Then you have a guy like Tet McMillan, who has been more consistent from start to finish. But again, it's not eye-popping. Now he's challenged by the quarterback that he's playing with. So do you take that into account? Tyler Warren in Indianapolis. I think we have a year. If we had a 1,600-yard running back, if we had a 1,300-yard receiver, I think it would have been a lot harder on Tyler Shuck to play himself back into the conversation. I think given that he's won his last 4, given that he took over with enough time to play enough games and what they've done in his presence, I think he's back in the conversation, and I think he's got a lot of momentum. And listen, it may be decided in Week 18 when they play the Atlanta Falcons. If he finishes on a 5-game winning streak, he's going to get a lot of support.
Yeah, I can absolutely see that unfolding. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Bruce Murray, you can follow him on X. He's at Bruce Murray, NFL host of the SiriusXM Blitz on Sirius XM radio. I brought this up to a buddy of mine, and he bet on Brock Bowers to win the Rookie of the Year last year. A tight end has never won the award. To your point, Bruce, if Brock Bowers was a rookie this year, based on what he did a season ago, he would be the first ever tight end to win it. He would run away with this award probably.
100%. Wouldn't be close. What we saw him do last year was nothing short of extraordinary. 100% he would be your offensive rookie of the year. That's what I mean. There's no Brock Bowers that's shattering records that have stood for 60 years in this year's class. We thought we could see it again with Ibuka with the start that he got off to, but he's leveled off significantly. You know, nobody's had those. We haven't had an offensive rookie of the month three times the way, you know, some guys have done in the past. It's just been, I hate to say an ordinary class, but listen, when I sat down to start to do some due diligence, I was thinking about some offensive tackles because there hasn't been that explosive guy. I mean, I think we'll get a 1,000-yard guy, but there's no guarantee of that. That's why Shuck's in the conversation.
Do you think offensive player of the year is down to two guys now, the game that is going to be played on Saturday night between Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Christian McCaffrey, or is Puka still alive? Is Bijan Robinson still alive with the game that he had last night?
I think that, listen, and I don't take quarterbacks out of the equation either. You know, I mean, I think Dak was, you know, in the conversation for a little while. I think Puka Nacua is still in the conversation. And if we're going to look at team records, which I don't think you can when it comes to guys like that, you've got to, you know, you've got to say, okay, well, let me look at the merits of the individual. And he's had an extraordinary year. I mean, heck, if he makes that catch last night, which looked like a catch when he first made it, you know, they may win that football game, and all of a sudden we're talking about that extraordinary play. Listen, I think JSN may be the leader in the clubhouse right now. For a team, when you look at how overwhelming his numbers are for a team that doesn't have too many other weapons, and he's still so effective, I mean, what has he had? You know, 1.5 games where you'd say, what happened to JSN? The rest are off the charts. I think he's the leader in the clubhouse. McCaffrey is there in the conversation, and I mentioned some of those other names. I don't know that it's necessarily decided Saturday night, though.
Okay, fair enough. We started MVP. Let's close there. How much will it mean to you that May could potentially be on the one seed, and yet a non-division winning quarterback hasn't won the award since 2008, and that's the spot that Matthew Stafford's now in?
Again, I want to be careful because the quarterback is the one position. First of all, I hate to say it, but the MVP has for the most part become a quarterback award. Yeah. You guys would agree with that.
Yes.
There are other guys in the conversation, but those guys touch the football every snap, every football game. They dictate the outcome of the game more than anybody else. Now, if you get a Barkley with, you know, 2,000 yards, if you get a Derrick Henry with 2,000 yards, other guys can creep into the conversation. We don't have that this year. I've heard people suggest Myles Garrett. Look, I don't know what the odds are on Myles Garrett, but I think you'd be making a mistake if you're not betting on him to be the defensive player of the year. Mm-hmm. But most valuable player, I don't think he's going to get a lot of support. Now, we have to vote for the top five. You'll see him on lists. You'll see him fourth. You'll see him fifth, et cetera. But it's a quarterback's award. I know quarterback is the one position where we gauge record. We don't talk about the wide receivers, you know, winning record. We don't talk about the running backs winning record. Quarterback, we do. So it does play a role. But again, I think you have to evaluate how the guys did, even in some of the losses. Stafford last night in his loss, he was part of the problem, make no mistake. But there have been some losses that they've had where he wasn't. So I don't think that precludes him, even in a year where he's not going to be the best in his division.
Totally agree. Bruce, that was some dynamite perspective. Thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate that.
Anytime, guys. Happy to be here.
There you go. Appreciate Bruce Murray, host of the Sirius XM Blitz on Sirius XM Radio. Follow him on X. He's at Bruce Murray NFL. We'll kick that around coming up, and we'll play you some audio from another voter who thinks the odds are out of whack. Overreaction to last night, next here on VSiN.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We have a ton to get into with Derek Stevens, who is the owner and the CEO of this outstanding property, Circa Resort in Las Vegas, also the Golden Gate and the D here in downtown. Good to see you again. Happy New Year, pal. How are you?
Good. How you doing? Good
doing
to
well.
See you guys.
Doing well.
Feel good. Feels good out there. The vibe.
Yeah.
You can tell people are showing up to Vegas, man. It's New Year's.
Getting here for tomorrow night, so it's a great week. Yesterday was super busy when I got here. Same thing with today. We have a big contest update coming from you, which we'll get into coming up in a second. But I want to start with this. We're on the air on Sunday for the tailgate show. right? And that Bills-Eagles game was around pick'em or Bills minus. How much money does it take on game day to move a number from around pick or one to minus three on the favorite with juice, by the way?
Yeah, so that was a special game. We got hammered. We got absolutely hammered in that game. It was on a three. We were really afraid of getting off the three. That game, we went to kick, and we had no ability to get buyback, and that ended up, I think it was the biggest decision of the season for us.
Mm.
And we couldn't get off that. We couldn't get off the number. It fell our way. It fell our way. We had a great weekend. But it was because of that game. If it wasn't for that game, we wouldn't have had a great weekend.
That was the highest handle in any game this year.
Highest impact to the house.
Yeah. Okay.
It was something. Like I was on a couple texts like, hey guys, what's going on? Hey, get the buyback. Chris, but there's no one out there. There's no one out there. Can't move it. Nobody's buying back. Like, whoa. So I went into kickoff thinking the house was doomed on that game.
Mm.
But then all of a sudden, you know.
Then all of a sudden.
Yeah. What are they?
13-0,
right?
Yeah.
Boom.
Great job. How about the Colts money, too?
Yeah.
That came in late as well, and then it falls six as he kicks the field goal.
Yeah. Another very interesting development, that's for sure.
What are you taking on a tie at 85, 90 to 1?
Oh, man. To help people out hedging. These ties, I have them in my mouth too much, and now all of a sudden we're booking these ties. Well, you know. $5,000 a pop here and there, all of a sudden starts adding up. We had, I think we had, it wasn't eight figures, but it was high seven figures, I can tell you that.
Is that right?
That we didn't want to tie. I really didn't want to tie in that Jets-New England game. That Jets. So when I saw New England go out to a big, big jump early, felt a little bit better about that, but... Yeah, we're taking a pretty good chunk. We're letting people win $500,000 before we take a pop at it.
What are you letting them get down hedging survivor plays, because we're down to six now from nine last week?
Right, we're letting everybody bet $500,000 a click. I mean, we got to be able to have a little bit of room to run. This weekend upcoming, I think we're probably going to run into a situation where we're going to have people wanting to play. A bit more. We're going to give them to win $500,000. We're going to move a number, and we're going to see if we get a little buyback. And we need a little bit of time to do it. You know, it's not like you get $500,000 at 9:58 a.m. We need a little bit of room to run to get that buyback. And then hopefully we get a little buyback so we don't have to move the number too far. So we're going to try to do everything we can to allow everyone to hedge out the best they want. There's a scenario, you know, that we could have six teams selected this weekend.
Six teams.
Can you believe this?
There's a scenario.
Go ahead. Take it.
There's a scenario. I love the way this is playing out.
So
I mean,
real bros going Jacksonville. No amp fans are, but he's the only guy who has Jacksonville. He's got to use them, right?
Yeah, real bros islanded on Jacksonville.
Okay.
You got Juicy K has Minnesota.
Okay.
Gary A, you know, could have New England there. The only one with New England. He islanded with New England.
Got to use them.
Dylan, who hung out here with us last weekend, he's coming back this weekend. He's got Tampa. He might be on Tampa, could be. You got Parts. They could be the Bengals.
Yeah.
And then kick your knees up. They got the Bengals, or they've got... They're on an island on Philadelphia, so you could see a scenario where you have all six take different teams. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but wouldn't that be something?
You imagine if it comes in like that?
Wow!
Holy smokes!
Gary A also has the Chiefs.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? As the Raiders trying to get the number one overall pick, Kansas City laying six, even though it's a third string quarterback.
Yeah, I mean laying six. Here, I mean, you're going to third string quarterback on the road. The Raiders now have locked in either the one or two, right? No matter what happens.
Yep.
There's two great quarterbacks in the draft, so I guess the Raiders are kind of covered with what they need. But, Yeah, I mean, that's true.
You feel better about Minnesota, though? Even though it's, how about Max Brosper laying this number? I don't care who's out for Green Bay. I mean, come on.
I was just looking at Guerrier. Guerrier's got the Patriots. So yes, that's a 10.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
I would think he'd go that route. He's on an island with the Patriots, just like he's on an island with Kansas City. I think he'd rather take the Patriots at home.
Yeah, I think so.
But either way, Guerrier's got two island opportunities.
Okay. How about two people with Cincinnati? Do you think both people use Cincinnati laying 7 at home against Cleveland? Or would you go with the Tampa Bay angle? Again, you got to pick 20 teams here. There's not much to choose from.
Yeah, 4 people have Tampa Bay left. I can't imagine the Buccaneers get selected this week.
You can't imagine they don't?
No. The Buccaneers cannot get selected. How do you trust this team with this much money on the line?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. What's Dylan? What else does Dylan have potentially?
Atlanta? Oh, boy.
I think Dylan's on Tampa.
Yeah.
I think he's on Tampa, huh?
He doesn't have much. He's got Tampa. He doesn't have the Bengals. Derek's right.
No.
He's got nothing to work with. He's used Minnesota, too.
Oh, boy. Yeah. There you go. He's probably going to have to use Tampa.
He doesn't. Yeah. He's up against it.
Of all teams that you're going to have to trust.
Would you rather go Atlanta?
Probably.
He does have Atlanta.
You'd rather go Atlanta?
I'm with Mitch.
I get the competition, the Saints. I don't want to go get the Saints right now. But
Tampa's
the
a mess.
Buccaneers are one of the worst teams in the league going back 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand. Yeah, maybe it is Atlanta. Well, even under that scenario, we're still in a situation where you could have 6 different teams.
Sure. Selected. No, you're right. Yes.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. How many people do you think are going to come out here? Have you heard from or going to watch here at Circa?
Yeah, we've got, I think we've got 3 Circa survivors are going to be here. We're loading the whole underhang. It's going to be all Circa survivors, Circa millions. And I know we said we're going to talk about this in the next segment. We got the booby prize. I'll tell you about him in a second. This is going to be a hoot.
Okay.
But we're going to have a lot of action, though. We just approved another 7-digit credit line just here a few minutes ago. So good. We got a $2 million credit line, $1 million credit line. Good.
This is also going to create a spot then for people who are going to want to bet against,
Yeah.
You're going to have the best numbers in the world probably on a handful of games.
Yeah, I think, we're going to, if you're out there and you're watching your board, we might step out a little bit and give you an opportunity. And that's what we're looking for. I mean, we feel good. I mean, we've got great liquidity and we got a lot of great smart players that are going to jump on it. So
implied value of each entry, $3.2 million, 6 left. Did your staff reach out to you about get a load of this? How about the guy who used the Giants last week?
Yes.
What'd you think of that move? And it was a rocking chair winner.
Well, she did a great job.
Oh, is that right?
And she will be here this weekend.
Good for her.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. From New York, happens to be a Giants fan or no?
No, I don't think so. It was kick your knees up. So there we go. So kick your knees up. We'll be here.
Oh, that's amazing.
Great job.
Yes.
Thank you.
We have 2 females out of the 6 here.
Yeah, 2.
There's 2?
Yeah. Well, come on, Juicy K. What do you...
What's wrong with you? Come on. It's a no-brainer.
How do we not recognize that one? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Have you met all of them?
No, but we've had communication with everyone. I've met a number of them. I'm going to see the ones I've not met. I'm going to meet a lot of them this weekend. So this should be a lot of fun.
Tell people what's going on tomorrow. How'd you get Robin Thicke and CeeLo here? What's going on with the concert?
Yeah, I mean, we got New Year's Eve. I mean, this is the countdown under the canopy. Robin Thicke. Chingy, CeeLo Green, Common Kings. A $60 party. We got to upgrade that. It's up to $70 now, last 48 hours. So
grab your tickets, VegasExperience.com. VegasExperience.com or any gate location. Party starts at 7 o'clock. 6 live concerts on 3 stages. Ring in 2026. Countdown under the canopy.
Are we on pace to have as busy of a New Year's as like every other year before?
I think so. I mean, it's hard to tell because so many of the tickets get bought in the last 24 hours. But I mean, looks like the weather's going to be warm. Weather's going to rain. If it rains, we're not going to. And if it doesn't rain, we're going to be great. If it lightly sprinkles, you're better on Fremont Street.
There you go. You have a lot of tidbits. I can't wait to hear them for Circa Millions coming up next. We continue with Circa owner and CEO Derek Stevens in studio. You have a ton of tidbits for the final week, Circa Millions. Quickly, four quarterfinal games, college football playoffs. They get underway tomorrow, New Year's Eve, Miami, Ohio State, then three on New Year's Day. How good action overall?
Oh, yeah, massive action. This is the defining year of what's taking place in college football. Either you're in the playoff or it's not relevant. I mean, the game today, there's very little action today.
Mm-hmm.
Playoff games are maybe 2x from where they were. Other bowl games, way down.
Way down, yeah.
Way down. That's where I'm hoping. I'm hoping they just expand the playoff to get, you know, a little bit more. I don't know. To me, 16 seems pretty reasonable. I don't think going from 12 to 16 is, or, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
They can make that happen tomorrow if they wanted to.
Yeah. But, I think the tough thing is all these other bowl games, it's become the most difficult thing to book. Yeah. We had a long meeting about this last week. Our guys, you have no idea. Kids say they're playing. Then, like, right before, I can't play, coach. I hurt my ankle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Opt-outs, whether they're called-out opt-outs or non-called-out opt-outs, it makes it impossible. And what it does with that level of uncertainty, it makes it less interesting to the average gambler. So when that happens, handle goes way down. So far, college football playoffs have been good. The rest has been lousy.
What'd you think of Whittingham? You approve?
Yeah, it's fine. I don't know. Michigan.
You don't seem excited.
I don't know. He retired. Michigan had to do something, I guess, right? So he's the cleanest guy out there. He follows what? Yeah. Follows five females on social media, wife, what, couple daughters and two nieces, and that's it? Keeps them out of trouble. That's what Michigan needs right now. They got too many problems.
Well, what are you looking at right now? Final week of Circa Millions. And, the juiciest tidbit would be what?
Final week of Circa Millions. So, we've got a number of Circa Millions people coming in. I don't know how many yet, but you know, we've got 24 that are the top 24 we invited out for the weekend.
Oh, great.
To stay here to hang out, all that. So I know it's all kind of a last minute thing. You have to be available. Couple names in here. You see Fezzik's tied for 17th?
I missed that.
Yeah. Fezzik 3. Then you got to look at Potato Commissious tied for 9th. We talked about him a lot over the season. Money Gun Guzz is right here. Retchie's here near up front. Sean's Dolphins. Bison Sports Cards. They've had a little run. Coin Hops at the top.
Still doing it.
Yeah. So we're inviting out the top 24 to come stay with us for 3 days, and we're going to have a lot of fun sweating these out on Saturday and Sunday. So that's the overall. For the quarter.
Holy smokes, I'm just looking at that right now.
The quarter is nuts. I don't think I've ever seen a more wide-open quarter because the top spot in the quarter is only 17-3. It's not like we're sitting on a 19-1.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, you get down to 15-5. How many people do we have in the top, like, within striking distance? I think we have, like, 60.
You got a ton of people there tied for 3rd at 16-4 on the graphic.
Yeah. And then 15-4-1. And then the number at 15-5, they're all within striking distance of a cash. I mean, it's a massive amount. So this one's wide open. Alma 4 is in place at 17-3. And Polar Bears in second, 16-3-1. Booby prize.
Okay, this is what I'm talking about.
This is
wow.
This is something. So in Circa Millions, the top record is Coin Hop at 58-26-1. the GC Indicate. I can't. Is it GC Indy? Indicate?
Indicate, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Like Syndicate almost.
Yeah, the GC Indicate. They are worse. They're 25-59-1. They have a better record inversely than CoinHop does. And we've thought CoinHop and these other guys have been unbelievable all year. So GC Indicate 25-59-1. And these guys, yeah, they're rolling hard. And they're bringing out eight guys to spend Sunday afternoon trying to pick five losers. And they could scoop the booby prize.
Oh, man.
We're going to have a lot of fun with these guys, too. You could tell the way these guys have been on the phone, talking to Jeff Benson, the number of rooms they got. And yeah.
Okay, great.
Good crew?
I think so.
Okay.
I predict.
This might be setting a record, though.
Yes.
For the quarterly and the booby.
Oh.
This is insane.
Kimmy five. I don't remember anybody starting off a quarter at 1-19. 1-19. Oh, 1-19, I think, would have scooped every quarter if it was a 4-week quarter we ever had.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Kimmy 5 is 1-19. And then we've got two people tied for second. Dan Hample and Money Moose at 2-18.
I know. He'd be furious.
Yeah, you're 1-19. You're not even in the clear here.
Yeah.
Could take it down. So this person, Kimmy 5... They have posted three different 0-5s and a 1-4 in this quarterly, and they have a one-game lead.
Yes.
Holy carumba.
That is amazing. Don't you wish 4 weeks ago we would have been talking about, let's figure out how to fade Kimmy 5. How good is this?
Yeah.
How good is this? Yeah.
Look at Money Moose. Tied for second, tied for 12th. He's got another entry down here. Did you see this?
Yeah, Money Moose is 2-18. That's Money Moose 1.
Yeah.
Then Money Moose 3-5 are both 4-16. Really amazing. So you would figure they're going to have to diversify a little bit and go after it.
Now, there was also an entry, GG's College Fund, right now tied for 6th, 55-29-1. This was 2 or 3 weeks ago. You pointed this out at the contest show. The same name, the same entry, had three of them, like, tied for 9th.
Right.
And they actually got one of them right now to stick up there and be in the top 6.
Yeah, I think they must have split a couple picks up or something just to try to have a little bit of separation. And now, you know, really anybody in the top 10, I mean, you're just trying to, you're looking at, you know, the six-figure payouts. We got the payouts right there, right? We pay... What's it take it down to, about 8th place still pays $100,000 or so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, $150,000. Yes. 9th place is $100,000. 10th place is $90,000.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, every position, everybody that's up there, big, big week for them.
What's your advice? Because you're going to see a lot of crazy line movements. Still, a lot of coaches haven't said what they're going to do.
Yeah.
If you want to take stale numbers or you can go oppo against that. I mean, it'd be a great chance. It's a great opportunity to gain ground too, and go against some of these.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we have a couple of stale lines out there, you're still going to have people chase a stale line because of how crazy this week 18 is. So it really depends on your situation. You know, if you jump into a stale line situation, and you're happy about where you're standing, you're probably not going to deviate from your position too much right now. If you're going to go for the gusto to try to get the blue jacket, you may go against the move. You know, you may want to separate yourself.
Well, Potato Commish, who was in the lead for a lot this year, that was the entry, right, Paulie? A couple of weeks ago, I think fell behind the first, was it CoinHop?
Yes.
And wanted to try to go anti, and they were on, they were on the exact five opposite picks.
That was unbelievable how that happened.
Come on, what are the odds on that happening?
I don't know. That was a crazy one that week.
That's wild. So what is your day like tonight into tomorrow? And then obviously on New Year's Eve is a big one, obviously, you know.
Yeah. No, New Year's Eve starts now. Limos are flying. They're all at the airport picking people up. You could feel that vibe, the energy in the air. It's going to be a great night tonight. Lots of credit coming in this weekend. Lots of cash coming in. Today's like the big pregame night. Restaurant's going to be packed, celebrities, all that stuff. And then tomorrow, usually a little late start, then everybody gets really dressed up and, you know, you've got all the events, whether you're going outside concerts or whether you're doing, you know, rooftop, fireworks, whatever the case may be. So it should be a great weekend.
How many different parties are you going to then?
Four? Probably pop in about four, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'll do about four. I'm gonna be with Nicole up on up at Legacy Club for midnight though.
Yeah, for the fireworks and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys have fireworks here?
No, I get the best situation possible. My next door neighbor, Jonathan Jossel, he loves fireworks. Uh-huh. That's perfect.
Like, there you go.
Yeah, he throws out the fireworks. I couldn't ask for anything
just
better.
Let him do yeah. it, worry about yeah. it, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have a great night tomorrow night.
All right.
Enjoy it. It is Happy New Year. It's a phenomenal night, obviously, out here for anybody in the audience who's never done Vegas for New Year's. You gotta do it at least one time.
It's just absolutely a bucket list destination.
Yeah. All right, stay tuned. Prime time next, Tim Murray, Matt Ewens, and then after that, catching out with Dustin Sweetelson. Wake up tomorrow morning early with Dave and Jensen, VSiN by the books at 7 a.m. Eastern. Good luck with the bets tonight.